Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in Christ Jesus, our great high priest. Amen. Our text for this morning is found in the 23rd chapter of St. Luke's Gospel, beginning at verse 44. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. So far the words of our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, set us apart from this world for yourself. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Be seated. The skies darkened over all the earth. The sun, the bright sun, even the sun of righteousness with healing in his wings, was all covered with the darkness of death. The Lamb of God was slain for sinners. The greater temple torn down just as he had said. The wrath of God was all exhausted. Jesus was totally forsaken, and all for you and me. God did this for us. In the Garden of Eden, God called out to Adam, "Where are you?" Now, of course, God knew what had happened. Adam and Eve had listened to that serpent. They valued its words more than the word of the Lord. And already they had lost that perfect love and harmony that they had enjoyed with God. It was gone. Yet the all-knowing God still called out to Adam, "Where are you?" As if to say, "Will you not come away from this dark, idolatrous thing that you have done? Bring it into the light, Adam, and its darkness will flee." But instead, Adam and Eve sought the comfort of the shadows of shrubbery and deception. They were separated from God by such a wide chasm, they could not cross it. But such a divide does not hinder the one who stretched out the heavens. And yet, every time he came to mankind, they were frightened and ashamed and pulled back in fear, rightly so, because of their sins. When God spoke to the Israelites, the words of the Ten Commandments, it's written, "Now all the people witness the thunderings, the mountains smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled. Then they said to Moses, 'You speak with us, but let not God speak with us, lest we die.'" Now God has no need to prove himself to anyone. The fullness of his glory is not found in displays of his power, nor does God wish to be a hidden God. Yet in love, that's exactly what he does. He hides in the still, quiet things. And already at this time, he was fashioning the Israelites into a living picture, a diorama of salvation. He was writing with real lives on the pages of history, so that he could communicate gently and perfectly the intentions of his gracious heart. He gave the Israelites the tabernacle and later the temple, and he ordered there that a thick veil, as thick as a man's hand, would be placed between him, his presence, and the people. It was a linen veil, like grave cloth. And once each year, God ordained that the imperfect high priest of Israel would pass through those sheets of linen into that holiest place where God deigned to be with men. And that priest would take with him the blood of the sacrifice, and he would sprinkle it on the mercy seat on the top of the Ark of the Covenant over the tablets of the law. Now that veil was a sign of the separation between God and man, that broken relationship with the Lord. Now we break relationships often in our lives. But this separation that exists between God and mankind, it's a separation that takes us away from the source of our life. It took Adam and Eve away from the source of their life. It took all their children, all of us, away from the source of our life. And that veil symbolizes that separation between God and man. It's death. It divides the eternal from the here and now. And only the high priest, one day a year, ritually cleansed of all his sins according to God's command, could pass through that veil and carry out the picture of the coming sacrifice. But then came the Lamb of God, the great high priest. And while we were yet sinners, he offered himself up to be the atoning sacrifice for all our sins, the sinless one blamed as sinner in place of the sinner, the sinless God in place of everyone. He did not enter the earthly picture of that holiest place, but he actually went with his sacrifice to the real place that it represents. He entered heaven with the sacrifice of his body and blood, all for us. And then that veil no longer served its purpose intact, and so God tore it. He tore it in great grief for his only begotten. He tore it to signify that his anger was satisfied in the death of his son. He tore it because death would not hold eternal life. He tore it because there was no longer a need for us to fear death. Jesus had opened that holiest place of heaven, and he has invited us by that still small voice of the gospel to come to him for rest. Now, it's true that the tomb would soon be shut. We know it will not hold the rising God. Your sky may darken one day. You may find yourself fearing that darkness of the tomb, the darkness of death. You may not see God in a way that the world would consider to be proof, and you may one day be confronted by doubts. You may look at the evidence of your own heart and your thoughts, and you may see selfishness and pride in those dark recesses. You may realize suddenly that nearly every thought you've had thus far today has been centered on you and what you want and what you need. This is the dark idolatry of our hearts, our sinful nature. But the light of God has gone into the midst of this darkness and triumphed. The veil is torn. Look through death by faith and see Jesus' blood covering all your transgressions. See the life he wants for you. Where are you? By his grace, we find ourselves at the feet of Christ, living now by his word in repentance, living eternally in him, our great high priest, who has gone through death to life for us. Amen.